We had Aaron Rodgers last hour, and now we are joined by an MLB Network insider, MLB.com columnist, NHL Network, Fox Sports, friend of the program. And as a reminder, MLB Network is going to exclusively televise two NLDS games next week. And you can watch my guest, John, across MLB Network's programming throughout October, which includes MLB Tonight. Before and after every game, we were going to have him on last hour, but I wanted to make sure that he had enough real estate, that he got the runway that he needed. John Morosi is back. What's going on, John? How are you?
Jim, really appreciate the opportunity to be on the air, and I would say a tough act to follow. I love that conversation you had with Aaron Rodgers. What great perspective from both of you in there. I've got a couple new books to add to my reading list from what Aaron had recommended. And really, I think, Jim, I love the conversation because you got a real message and a sense of how Aaron has kept things fresh at the age of 36 and continuing to innovate as a NFL quarterback and a person, more importantly. So just great conversation by you and by Aaron there in the last hour.
You know what, John, I so appreciate you saying that. Thank you, and I could not have put that any better than you just did. You know, I want to talk baseball with you in a moment, but again, as you and I have talked about, you're an extremely versatile guy, and then you dropped this bomb on Twitter, quote, so Matt LaFleur played quarterback for Coach Dave Schwartz at Mount Pleasant High School before I played QB for Coach Schwartz at Essexville Garber High School. The similarities end there. My record as a senior, 0-9. Honored to talk sports with Jim Rome during the same hour as Aaron Rodgers. All right, so really quickly, John, what were you like as a quarterback? And if things go differently, are we talking about you as an NFL head coach right now?
That's a great question, Jim. Oh, my goodness. Well, Coach Schwartz, he actually at one point in time sort of suggested that maybe I should go in the NFL or the football coaching area. And I actually thought about playing in college. But I got to be honest, Jim. I'm 5'8". I was what you would call a no-threat quarterback. I was neither tall enough to see over the line nor fast enough to do any sort of zone read option strategy. I was really a no-threat quarterback. The one thing I could moderately do was throw while running, which was very important because, as you could tell from our record, we were often behind. So throwing was very important, but I had to run to do it. So it was kind of a, you know, scripted up like you're playing in the backyard kind of a mentality. Doug Flutie was my favorite player growing up. I wanted to emulate Doug Flutie because I was about the same height as Doug. I met him once, actually, and I told him that. So certainly I was very short in ability, but loved the game, loved the experience, learned so much from football. And maybe, Jim, if I had gone in that route of coaching, I'd still be doing it. Loved the game, loved being around it. So certainly for me to have that link with number 12 from the last hour, Aaron Rodgers, it was pretty cool to be able to be on the same show as him. And yes, Coach Matt LaFleur, I know Coach Schwartz has great respect for what Matt has done in the game. So certainly, as a Youper for myself, I do have that respect for the Packers and Coach LaFleur as well.
I love that story. I love that connection. John Morosi is joining us right now. All right, John, you're going to be in a bubble for the postseason. We have seen bubbles in the NBA and the NHL. How is the bubble going to work in baseball?
Well, Jim, a couple things. Number one, I think that MLB has taken some really good notes and messages from what's happened already with the NBA and the NHL to really have what those best practices will be. But yes, I'll have a week coming up in October where I'm at a hotel in Texas and I'm in my room. They'll be bringing the three meals a day and I believe a COVID test every day. And that'll be it. You're not able to leave the room. And I understand certainly from having my wife be a doctor, I've been going through this this year and kind of hearing what she has to say to me about her experience at the hospital. So I get it. I get the best practices. And I think that baseball and the players should be commended. The last couple of weeks, we have seen zero positive tests among the players. And really, Jim, they've almost moved into a quasi-bubble already where the teams that were playing at home last week were at the hotel, just hotel ballpark and back. So I think they've really determine what the best practices are. A lot of mask wearing, of course, taking tests every day for the players and the staff. So I think baseball's got a really good grip on how things will go. And as we watch this week play out, of course, they're playing today in that incredible 8-game scenario with the playoffs unfolding. But there are those additional days budgeted for this coming weekend to make sure that everybody can travel to California and Texas, do the intake testing, get into the bubble, and be safe from then on until the end of the World Series.
We are talking to John Morosi. Now, John, in the past, there's been some talk of playing the World Series at a neutral site, similar to the way the NFL handles the Super Bowl. Scott Boras has led the charge on that idea. So could you see this becoming a thing that carries on in the future, or would MLB be reluctant to move the World Series away from home parks?
You know, Jim, it's a great question. I think that a lot of things in baseball this year, whether it's the runner on second and extra innings or the universal DH, a lot of those things I think will enter the conversation for baseball as permanent changes. And I think having some element of the World Series, and I know Scott's suggestion, which I think is a good one, has been to go to a best-of-nine World Series where the first two games are played at the neutral site, where you can really have it as a destination to celebrate the game. It's great for sponsorships and marketing, similar to the All-Star game. But I think that when you have it at the summit of your season, Jim, it really adds a lot of excitement. And baseball, unlike the Super Bowl, of course, you don't know where it's going to be, so it's hard to plan a lot of events in advance to make it a real spectacle for fans and businesses and corporate sponsors and everybody. So I think it's a great concept. I think Scott's been spot on with that idea for a long time. And I hope that maybe this is an entree to having that as part of the normal aspect of a baseball schedule, especially because, Jim, we've had so many ballparks either be new ballparks in recent years or those that have been renovated that I think would be a great fit for a neutral site World Series.
We are talking to John Morosi. It's a really interesting thought. All right, John, before you go, how about a couple of matchups? Toronto lost to Tampa Bay in game one of their series yesterday. What do you make of how Toronto set up their rotation for the series?
I was surprised, Jim. Hyunjin Ryu, of course, comes over from the Dodgers, the splashy free agent signing. He doesn't get the game one start. They go with Matt Shoemaker, who's had some injuries in the last couple of years and was limited to just three innings yesterday in the start. So to almost have a bullpen game to begin the series, I got to be honest, it wasn't the way I would have expected things to go, or at least let Matt Shoemaker go deeper into the game because he was so good through three innings there before Robbie Ray came in. So I didn't love the approach there. The Rays are going to be a tough team to beat in general, and I really think the Rays, you think about things going forward, Jim, they're the kind of club, the Dodgers as well, these teams that are built with tremendous pitching depth. It's going to be so key without having the days off in the division series or the championship series. It's five in a row and then seven in a row. It's really going to advantage the teams that have true depth, like the Dodgers, like the Rays.
We're covering so much ground. John Morosi is joining us. Now, John, I don't root ever for anything other than something to talk about, but I have to be honest about this and transparent. New York put an absolute hammering on Cleveland, and while I wasn't rooting against the Yankees, I'm a big Shane Bieber guy because he is a UCSB product. I love his backstory, and the Yankees did a number on the Indians last night. Now, that Yankee roster, John, is not perfect, but does it feel like one that could make a deep run?
I agree, Jim. I've got the Yankees winning the American League this year, and the reason is, when you think about the team they've got now, it's so different from what they had when they had so many injuries during the middle part of the year, when Stanton was out, and Judge was out, Urshela was out. Now they're all back, and they're joining together with Luke Voit, who was an MVP candidate for them, as was DJ LeMahieu. So if you liked the Yankees after they signed Gerrit Cole, and if you said in December, yeah, this team could win the World Series, then you should probably feel that way now, because they're basically the team that we thought they were going to be. Their record during the regular season, Jim, to me, does not represent just how talented they are right now. So I think they're my pick. Love their depth. Tough matchup for the Indians right now. And I know the baseball world's really pulling for Terry Francona. Of course, he's had a number of health issues during the course of the year and his team there in Cleveland. But I think the Yankees right now, Jim, are simply more talented.
John Morosi joining us. I won't let you go without asking you about the Dodgers, who you referenced. But before I go there, John, the Padres are back in the postseason for the first time since 2006. How much are you looking forward to seeing them playing in October?
I am looking forward to that, Jim, but I'm also concerned now. The news coming down just minutes ago about their first-round playoff roster, Mike Clevinger and Denelson Lamet both are not on the roster. That is a huge blow for them. That's their one and two starters. Think about any team. Think about Cole and Tanaka on the Yankees or Kershaw and Buehler on the Dodgers. It's that level of devastation for the Padres to not have their one and two guys. So that is a really significant blow for them, playing against a Cardinal team that I had to really play a lot of pressure-packed games late in the season just to get into the first round. So I think their talent for the Padres, their offense, sensational. Tatis, Machado's played like an MVP as well. Cronenworth, of course, from the University of Michigan's come in and played great. Eric Hosmer, too. Will Myers. So the lineup is good. They'll score some runs, but I'm really concerned right now, Jim, about the pitching without those two key guys entering the first round.
John Morosi, valid concern. All right, so what about the Dodgers, John, before you go? They went 43-17. So when you look at this Dodger team, how does this team compare to the ones that came before it?
Well, Jim, they're my pick to win the World Series. I got them winning a 7-game World Series against the Yankees. How would that be for some late October drama? But I think that the reason why I'm convinced and feeling stronger about them as a playoff team this year is their bullpen is so much better. There's been so much focus on Dave Roberts' move last year and Clayton Kershaw, the home runs he gave up against the Nationals. But Dave Roberts did not have that number of trusted relievers at that time. Kenley Jansen is better now than he was then. They've got Blake Treinen now. Dylan Floro has been big for them. Jake McGee has been big for them. McGee was not even part of the organization last year. Adam Kolarik has been very good. It's a different bullpen. And also, Dustin May is a more complete pitcher. Tony Gonsolin's a more complete pitcher. They don't need to rely as much on Kershaw in situations in which Kershaw candidly should not be pitching. He should be a starting pitcher, let him start his game, and that should be it. They now have enough depth for that to be the case. Now, the one thing I'll say is that I'll be really curious, Jim, watching today's game. Check out the Dodgers' at-bats early against Brent Suter. The Brewers' lefty, very smart pitcher, works quickly. To me, the tale of the Dodgers postseason, can Cody Bellinger play like his MVP self? Because eventually, teams are not going to let Mookie Betts beat them. Bellinger's going to have to be big, and today that starts against a really tough lefty in Brent Suter of the Milwaukee Brewers.
John Morosi locked in. I want to remind you again, the MLB Network is going to exclusively televise two NLDS games next week, and be sure to watch John across MLB Network's programming throughout the month of October. It includes MLB Tonight, before and after every single game. He is a good friend of the program. John, it is so great to have you back. Great to talk baseball with you as always, and thank you so much for doing it. Have a great day.
Jim, always love the conversation, and again, tremendous interview that you had with Aaron Rodgers. It's my honor to be on the same show as that interview, so great job there, and look forward to the next conversation.
John, I appreciate you saying that. Thank you so much. Really appreciate your respect. John Morosi. And I'm struck by the fact that he mentioned he's married to a doctor. Think those two might have brainiac kids? Holy crap. John Morosi is so good.